This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go. Hour number three from Indianapolis. It's the NFL Scouting Combine, the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, where you see Mitch Tischler, who decided you almost did a Collinsworth slide.
I was going to Collinsworth slide, but then I decided I wanted to do the air horns with the cat. Yum, 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 meow.
Yeah.
And I
there you go.
That's more.
But I know you don't have headphones on right now, but Anthony just hit him again with the meow, 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 and really perfect. Anthony, that was well done out of you, sir.
He's a spectacular producer.
He is. Yeah,
he might be a little shady and mad at him, but he's a great producer.
Oh my gosh,
he says. I refuse to sit here and play middleman between the two of you for the next 20 minutes. So I'm gonna go in like somewhat reverse order of what I just did with JP. Of course, you can catch JP and Mitch on the Beltway Football Podcast. JP's, how many tables does JP have here? He's got just the two, and then I brought him over here.
Listen,
and
we have the Audacity table here.
That is hold on. Can you hand me that sign?
I mean, listen, this is funny in that it's just miserably wrong.
That should say Odyssey, DC. It says Audacity.
How about NBC4 is NBC Commanders in DC?
We got signs all over the place that are not making a lot of sense. I will say the one thing that I do appreciate.
All the signs they got right. Monumental Sports is the only one that seems monumental.
It's some Dame Leonsis made a call over there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do appreciate that I'm sign number 44, though, because there's inevitably a million Syracuse alums in this room, and 44 is a sacred number in Syracuse lore. And I'm the one who got the table.
44 is a sacred number in Commander's lore.
Yes, it also is.
33,
yes,
as well, which is our monumental table. So we're representing well here.
We are. Retire our numbers. Slash, they
Please.
Already are.
Yeah.
That's how that goes down. So I'm going to start in somewhat reverse order of what I did with JP, which I'm going to ask you the question that I'm asking everyone first. And as I said with JP, it hits a little different for you because like we've been on this journey the entire time through this season with this team. But I think because of just how much changed with Washington this year and the way they went about their business, how public they were in terms of the things they were looking for, all the different ways that the organization changed. Like, is there something that you take away from this season that you either learned about team building / the NFL or that was clarified for you in a major way?
Yeah, I would say how quickly you can turn a team around, honestly, is number one. And we all know how important quarterback is. And, you know, all the Jaden Daniels talk is obviously, you know, well worth it. More so, how a front office can come together and put together a essentially brand new team, 33 new players with the initial 53 last year. I imagine this year it's going to be semi-similar in terms of how many new faces are going to be in Washington.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton.
And how well, if you're able to scout and bring in the right types of players, you can have veteran players who are quote-unquote over the hill, which we heard a lot preseason about with a bunch of different of the Commanders players, but how they can all fit together and give you a product like we saw on the field this year. Because for far too long, we saw Washington bring in, you know, veteran free agents, and they never hit. And all of a sudden, you get Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and you don't miss.
Right. Hilariously, by the way, I ran into Josh Norman outside the building today. So Josh
no comment.
Is here doing something.
I didn't say Josh Norman's name.
No, he's an example of a guy that was incredible in Carolina, was still should have in his prime in terms of what should have been. And I mean, the corner position is volatile as hell. But I do think that one of the things that is interesting, having covered Josh and many others, is like my big takeaway is that, or like, it's more of a clarifying point that I've said a bunch of times before over the years covering this league and covering football in general, but like the way that it came to life this year was wild, which is you are better off having 11 going in the same direction to an inferior plan than the best plan ever or the most talent and people not all working together. And so like that happens on the field in very obvious ways where you have a receiver run the wrong route and messes up this, oh, we have the perfect play dialed up, but whatever happened, or one guy plays, you know, doesn't get a check in coverage. Yeah. But like to see that on an organizational level where everybody in that building from owner to GM, entire front office, coaching staff,
you skipped over 16 other owners,
16 minority partners, like everyone was on the same page. And the buy-in creates the best version of everyone, and that overcomes the talent deficit in a way that, like, I didn't even know was possible.
Well, I also think you brought up Josh Norman, and to kind of further that point, it's not necessarily bringing in the most talented individual. It's the most talented individual that fits what you're trying to do.
Right.
And you look at some of the veterans they brought in, aren't guys that are off the charts at RAS or, you know, never, you know, blew the doors off anybody in terms of, you know, being, you know, Bobby Wagner aside, you know, Hall
sure.
of Fame, whatever. But you bring in a bunch of guys who are all, you know, rowing the ship in the same direction, and you're able to get production on the field. And you can look up north to Philly with Zach Bond, who was a castaway from New Orleans,
yeah,
and how well he fits in Philly and what they did.
They didn't even know that was going to happen, though.
So I was talking to one of the guys, not somebody with the team, but somebody very close to the team. And they're saying that as they were going through the tape, Fangio specifically pointed out Bond and was like, you know, I don't know if you know, what I'm seeing on the special teams tape is necessarily going to transfer. But if it does, this kid could be special. And obviously it turned out well. But bigger point being, it's not going out and getting the biggest name. It's not going out and getting the single most talented player who's the most athletic, strongest, fastest, you know, whatever. It's about finding guys that fit your system and getting everyone to play together.
Yeah, ultimately, like, you have a job on the field and a job in the building, and, like, everybody embracing their job to the best of their actual abilities will, in a stunning turn of events, unlock the maximum of their abilities.
But, like, Josh Norman, you brought up, was great in Carolina.
Great in Carolina.
But you bring him in to play a defense that doesn't necessarily fit what he does well is a perfect example of A, why you need a real GM,
yes.
B, why you need a real head coach, C, why you need a real owner, and D, why everything is different right now.
Yes, absolutely true. I also, it was funny as I was setting up this question for some other folks, like, it was also clarified that, like, owner, head coach, GM, quarterback, like, Tirico came on the show in the middle of the year, was like, those are the four things that matter.
Yeah.
And they literally, in the last 18 months, have a new of all of them, and they're, you know, one of the best five, maybe, in the entire, I mean, I don't know if DQ is considered a top five head coach, but, like, for what he does.
It's hard to argue what he did this season.
CEO style, like, yeah. Absolutely, he's one of the best. He's like an A version of that archetype of head coach. If you like your Shanahan, McVay, O'Connell type better, then fine. That's your personal opinion. But, like, Dan did enough to build the staff around him and make yeah. everything work for him. Okay, the news of the day is obviously the John Allen situation. It's not surprising, but it also is one of those things when it hits you, it's like, oh, well, we're really here. Okay, this is when this is going to go down. What do you make of it and what Adam Peters had to say about it?
I think what Adam said was the right thing to say. I mean, you don't want to, obviously, you want to prop the guy up because you're still trying to trade him and
right.
get some assets for him. The reality of it is he doesn't have a huge trade market. There's not going to be a ton of return. The talk about him being traded correlating to anything Myles Garrity, I think, is a step too far.
I think that's correct. I will say, like, if there's, like, a Deebo Samuel type of trade, something where, like, another team is in the same position and it helps the math, that could be something where, like, it's a big name trade, but, like, it actually is is multiple ancillary pieces. That if they work well in their new places could be great, but, like,
right.
Guys that are going to be cut anyway, and they just trade them for each other.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, if you're talking about that in a Deebo world, you're talking about you know, John and a mid-round pick for Debo, or mid to late round pick for Debo or something like that. But big picture with John Allen, he meant a lot to this organization when the organization had nothing to rely on. And for that, you have to tip your cap to him.
For sure.
You know, he stepped up into a leadership role that isn't in his personality. He's not the type of guy that wants to stand up in front of a room and preach to guys, but he recognized there was a void and he filled it. Now, was he the right person to fill it? That's, there are questions to be answered there.
For sure.
But ultimately, he was a very important part of a very bad organization. Quite unfortunately, he got paid, didn't perform to the pay. You know, you see what the vision was with Daron Payne, John Allen, if you want to talk about all four first-round picks. It's what Philly did this year in the Super Bowl and all season long. Ultimately, I think John Allen is more of a playmaker at defensive tackle, and I think that this defensive staff wants defensive tackles that are more eating up blocks and allowing room and lanes for linebackers to flow freely and get to it. And so, ultimately, I don't know that John, either personality-wise or play-on-the-field-wise, was a perfect fit with this Dan Quinn group. However, he gets a lot of credit for the first, you know, whatever, seven years of his career.
For sure. And like, did he do enough in those 7 years to get his number retired or go in the Ring of Honor?
No.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
I didn't mean to jump on that. So
Mitch has strong thoughts on that. I agree with him. I was doing
time.
A rhetorical bit there.
Fans propped him up for a long time.
For sure.
Because he was one of the only things that you could look
if
at.
If you had asked me 2 years into his career, is this guy on that path, I would have said, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Like, he's really, really good, and he's probably going to be a leader.
He was the, what is it, the yodeler going up the mountain in the Price is Right game.
Yeah.
He just reached the cliff and fell off the other end.
Goodbye. But, like, should he be cheered if he comes back for alumni events? Like, yes. That was the second half of my rhetorical question.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to. It was an involuntary response to that.
Mitchell's opinion is on the record on that one. But, like, that's the thing, right? Is, like, it ran its course. I agree with you that both on the field and off, I don't know that he's a fit with this group. But everyone got along well enough this year. And I think they're handling this the way that NFL business gets done, which is like, hey, if you can go find something, like, we're happy to facilitate. It's going to have to work for us. And you know, we're having this conversation with JP, obviously, but, like, sometimes you see wacky stuff then happen in terms of the timing of the release or whatever. Like, the best thing for Washington and the best thing for John in this particular case is they try to find a trade for the next week and a half. If it doesn't happen, they let him go. And that's the end of the John Allen era.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with it. We'll see. But this might be not the next week and a half. I think this might lead up to the drafts because, you know, deadlines.
You think
deals.
It could?
I don't think it will, but I could see a scenario.
I could see them wanting the cap space. Like, it's $16 million in space.
It is, which is a lot, but that $16 million is how much you're going to spend on your rookie class, and you don't have to worry about spending that money until after the draft. So you can ostensibly hold on to them for an extra month or so if you think that sort of deadline is going to spur in a deal. But ultimately, let's be honest, like, there's not going to be a massive market for him. Maybe there's a deal for him. You know, ultimately, you mentioned the Ring of Honor thing. This team was so obsessed with the decade, all decades teams or whatever, that the last time they put it out, there were a bunch of players who were real bit players on it. You know, we have to recognize that the 15, 20 years of bad football doesn't mean that we need to overly boost the status of players who played in that era because they were average to good players because there were so few of them.
That's 100% true. And I think the funny thing is like, now the one guy left from that fearsome foursome, fearsome in the dreams of the people that drafted them.
Get rhetorical there.
Thank you. I need some space to breathe, Mitchell.
I'm sorry.
Need some space to breathe. The one guy left is now Daron Payne, who I think is probably the most misunderstood. And maybe Montez was, in a way, who he was as a player. You know, the edge setting and all those kinds of things were underappreciated in a way. But by the same token, like, Daron has actually been incredibly consistent over his career. Just 1 year, the pressure rate turned into 11 sacks, and that happened to be the year he was about to get paid, and so they had to pay him. But, like, from a pressure standpoint, who he's been, the types of plays he makes, the hot streaks, like, Daron's been consistent, and he's, you know, now going to be in this position. Like, if we're sitting here a year from now, we're probably having the same conversation about Daron Payne.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Daron has an opportunity to go out and, you know,
He's basically in a contract year again. So
it's a similar situation, but big picture, what I liked about all this was the team recognized, Adam Peters recognized where they were with these guys. 2 years in a row, you're going to have two major deals that you're going to have to figure out. They went out and brought in Johnny Newton, or drafted Johnny Newton. You know, he had his injuries during the offseason. I liked that they kept it together. They gave Johnny a year to kind of, you know, get involved. I imagine as we go through this draft, I'm not saying that they're going to be a first-round defensive tackle or even a second-round defensive tackle, but I think there's going to be a top 100 defensive lineman taken, and I would like to see them go sort of that same route where you kind of ease them in. They did it with Brandon Coleman at left tackle. They did it with Johnny Newton as much as they could with Mikey Sainer still at corner. I liked it the way that they brought in these rookies and they didn't throw them to the wolves.
Right.
You know, they kind of worked them into a system, let them get comfortable. And also this team is, for the first time in forever, looking ahead. They're seeing, hey, these are the obstacles we're going to have in 2026, 27, 28, 29. And they can use the draft to start working on filling those holes. Not you're going to get a starter every time, but you're building depth at positions that you know are going to have turnover coming up. That's a big deal.
Mitch Dischler, Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. The funny thing about – there's a million funny things about the Combine. This is an absolutely, objectively, the more I come to it, hilarious event. Because there's the media side of it and, like, all the information exchanges. Then, like, theoretically, there's, you know, the draft part of it. But then, like, the actual next thing on the NFL calendar and a lot of stuff that happens here is between agents and teams for free agency. So knowing that Washington is going to have currently 80-plus million in cap space, let's count another Allen, 16. You could have another 10 from Andrew Wiley if you want. They don't have like, oh, we can spend big on whatever type of money, like multiple pieces, because they have so many guys they have to bring back or fill those holes. So it's not like, you know, per empty roster spot they don't have the most cap space or the second most cap space in the league, but they still are pretty high on the list. So if you look at the free agent class, is there anywhere where you're like, I think they should spend there, either on a particular player that you've got circled for them, that's not necessarily bargain bin guy, or a certain position?
I mean, I'm going to steal the Howie Roseman line. I'm sure JP brought it up earlier, but he's uncomfortably obsessed with offensive and defensive lines.
Mitch Dischler, we talked about, I'm trying to remember, I think JP's autobiography title was A Unique Path. I am uncomfortably obsessed with offensive and defensive linemen.
That's me.
Mitch Dischler, that's your book.
Yeah, listen, you just watch an Eagles offensive and defensive line dominate through the season, but particularly through the playoffs, and their GM is sitting there talking about needing to bolster
more.
That.
Yeah.
Same thing has to be in Washington. I like Brandon Coleman. I think, you know, early on, I think they did a good job of working him in, had a solid middle season, end of the year, I think rookie wall / injuries. I want to give him another chance next year. I'm actually going to bring back Andrew. To me, I'm bringing back Andrew Wiley.
I'm not mad at that.
To be your kind of backup swing tackle, but also your right guard until Sam Cosmin comes back. To me, the big place I want to see them address is right tackle in free agency. I'm not saying that you want to go out and get a $20 million a year guy, but I think that's where you need to try and upgrade on the offensive line. And you mentioned the Montez Sweat not being misunderstood for not being able to set an edge, or for setting edge as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would hope Washington fans watch this season and what happened at the defensive end position and recognize that I'd rather have Montez Sweat get 6 sacks and set an edge and keep, you know, these big run plays from happening, as opposed to Dante Fowler getting 10.5 sacks. I'd like to bring back Dante Fowler if it's in a, you know, passing down situation role, not as a 3-down guy. To me, free agency is I'm spending money offensive and defensive lines and then working on depth in the draft. And to me, skill position players come from the draft. I'm not in the business of giving up big time dollars to a T. Higgins type, or to another playmaker on the offensive side.
I think that's the funny thing in terms of the receiver position, because like they're going to have to sign receivers in free agency because they only have Luke and Terry basically on the roster. I'm sure like the Bryson Tremaines of the world are floating around being like, hey, give me a shot. Yeah, I mean, look, Bryson, I thought, played okay for Bryson Tremaine. So that's Bryson's book so far. The rest, as was once said in the song, is still unwritten. But the... the receiver market is so expensive, and the guy, I now feel like I'm picking on Darnell Mooney, but like Darnell Mooney made $13 million. That's the same that Saquon Barkley made last year. So like when people say, oh, bring Deami back cheap, I'm like, I don't think Deami Brown's going to be cheap.
Deami's not coming cheap. Like,
yeah. And so like, is there a guy that you can get? Like, if you can tell me that I can get Darius Slayton for $8 million. I would definitely consider that. But I think by and large, like going receiver in the draft, going line, making sure that Jaden has like a floor in front of him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's right. And then, you know, like one of the guys that I'm really interested to see if they pursue is Khalil Mack. Because you're playing with fire because of his age. They played with fire last year with guys with age, and it worked out in their favor. But you, and I don't know how much he's going to cost, but it's probably not, it's not going to be $20 million a year, I don't think.
No.
But he's like a guy that earlier in his career, tremendous pass rusher, but still is as good of an edge setter as there is in the league. Like, I mean that legitimately. Like, he's awesome at that. So I do wonder if like he's a guy that they see as a potential fit here, and do you give him $10 million? And is that, you know, one of your, I don't know that like their biggest expense, a $10 million player. I think there's probably someone who gets more than that. But is that one of your splashier signings?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. Listen, Frankie Louvu did a really good job when asked to play defensive end. The more that they can get in legitimate defensive ends and let Frankie,
I think Frankie's
flow.
Better as a, like, Logan and I have talked about this a good
blitzing.
Bit. I think blitzer, yes. Rusher, really didn't have that great of a season.
That's exactly where I am. I think it was out of necessity that they put him there because they just didn't have enough real good end bodies that could get to a quarterback.
And I think they wanted to see if he could do the Micah thing. And, like, he could do some of it, but Micah's Micah.
But there's also something we learned from Dorrance Armstrong, who had 8.5 sacks 2 seasons ago in Dallas as a pass rush specialist. And there was the hope that he was going to be able to take that role and expand it to be a three-down defensive end and hopefully expand those sack numbers. It's easy to get lost in the sauce and forget that, like, when you come in as a pass rush specialist, you're coming in, you know, hand in the dirt, knowing where the quarterback's going to be, and it's different to get a three-down guy. And Khalil Mack is a guy who, if he's able to stay healthy, can do that. On the offensive side of the ball, he brought up Debo, and, you know, is there a deal potentially there for him, which certainly is. And you know, I like the thought of Debo Samuel taking those wide receiver screens or quick pop passes as opposed to it being a Deami Brown type, because I think he can do more with it.
For sure.
But do I want to, if I have a fourth-round pick, do I want to go big game hunting for a Puka Nacua type who was a fifth-round pick a couple seasons ago?
Right.
Adam Peters has done a really good job drafting receivers. They clearly evaluate that position particularly well.
And they have plans for those guys. I think that's the thing is, like, there's a great clip of the Rams discussion before drafting Puka that I'm sure you've seen on, you know, they put out. Hey, Sean, Les, we got this clip of you guys talking about Nacua. Yeah. Whatever we said, go ahead. But basically it's like, Sean's like, I know how to use that guy. Like, I have a plan for him. Like, let's do it. I love this guy. And there was some underlying data that suggested if he stayed healthy, he could be really good. And you know, some of like the per snap stuff or whatever their analytics said, but like ultimately they had a plan for him. And I don't know if their plan was 1500 yards as a rookie. But they clearly, that's the best version of their plan. And so I think that's something to remember as well, is like, got to have plans for guys, which goes back to our, you know,
initial discussion
featuring a guy that I saw outside earlier today. All right, that's Mitch Tischler. You can listen to him on the Beltway Football Podcast, which is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, the Monumental Sports app as well. And when we get back, for about the 15th straight time in a row, I have no earthly idea what we're going to be doing. But for right now, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports. It's presented by Wawa. Chicken how you wanna at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
And just like that, we got 30 minutes to go from Indy. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. We are live at the Indianapolis NFL Scouting Combine. It's just the NFL Scouting Combine. I don't know why I keep calling it the Indianapolis NFL Combine. There's no other combine. It's the NFL Combine. We're in Indianapolis. That's where we are. Adam Peters spoke through these blue curtains behind me. There's a bunch of podiums, and that's where Adam Peters was earlier today. And he was asked an interesting question, especially considering the question that I have been asking everyone that has come through and my answer to it, which is the question I basically asked is, like, is there anything about what the Commanders did this year that changed the way that you think about team building and the NFL? And my thing has been very much that culture matters even more than I thought. I would have probably said, like, schematic and talent stuff is huge, like being on the cutting edge of those things and making sure you're ahead of the game. And I think those things can matter. But they're also constantly shifting targets. And, you know, as long as you do what you do really well, I think that you can make a lot of different things work schematically and a lot of different roster builds and all those different types of things. But I think getting to the crux of, you have to know what you do well, and you have to have everybody moving in the same direction. And there's a bunch of different ways to do it, but you have to, and some may have higher ceilings, certainly, than others. But, like, I would rather have an inferior plan with superior buy-in and the right pieces making up what I'm trying to do that are the right for me, even if to others it may not look like, or they might not be the most universal pieces, oh, that guy's the best player on the top 100 list of free agents, and that's the guy that all the mock drafts loved. And what it's just a bunch of misfit toys, or maybe I discount a player's character and how they compete and how they show up for work every day. It's the old, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Like, we saw that come to life this year with the Washington Commanders. And so Adam Peters was asked, would you take on a guy who's got red flags, if you will, and obviously I think we'll see what Adam says, but it depends on what those red flags are. But, like, would you take on a guy with red flags because of the base and the culture that you've built in D.C.?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on, and that was one of the coolest things when we were going through this process last year, when I really got to know DQ and we saw everything. You know, kind of, we're really aligned on everything, and that is a big thing for us, and finding the right people. And that's not just players, that's you know, support staff, coaches, everybody. So that's always going to be at the core of what we do. And I've been a part of teams that when you start sacrificing that, then it usually doesn't work. And so, you know, we've set out, and really, I think what's really cool is in our exit interviews this year, we talked to a lot of players, and one of the biggest things that they hit on was, we liked all the people you brought in, the players and the Commanders and the competitors. And so don't lose sight of that. So we heard that from our players. We felt it ourselves. So that's always going to be at the core of what we do. And I mean, there may be an exception here or there, or you make a mistake, and you know, that not on purpose, but that's going to always be at the core of what we do.
I think that there are negotiables when it comes to that stuff, and there's non-negotiables. If a player, for instance, had an incident in college, and you are comfortable with how they took accountability for that, and it is a potential character red flag of how they conduct themselves off the field, that's not something this organization wants to take on, I think, on principle, but also I think they're aware on the ownership side of, like, hey, we're still coming off of a lot of stuff. Like, this team was in, you know, in front of Congress a couple years ago. We're not really looking to bring bad dudes into the community. But, like, if someone were to have some kind of incident that suggests that there could be a character issue, but you can say, oh, you know what, they're 18 years old, this is not the end of the world, they take accountability, they made changes in their life to ensure that something like that wouldn't happen again. It might cause us a few bad headlines, but at the end of the day, like, this is not actually indicative of who this person now is and will be for us moving forward. That's one thing. I think that there are probably even on field, maybe some character things that are non-conventional that you could take on. But I think at the core of the non-negotiables for them is, who are you as a competitor and how responsible are you? And those things are obviously very related. How responsible are you to your teammates? Are you accountable? And all of that behind the, are you competitive? Will you do what it takes to win? Are you and part of that is, like, not saying what I'll do whatever it takes and, like, you know, doing whatever, you know, Instagram workout videos. Like, are you actually willing to put in the extra time to study? Are you actually willing to take a back seat at times, play a different role because it's what's best for the team? Like, how bad do you want it? I saw a really funny meme actually going around this weekend that is both funny societally and funny in this context. It's used as a comparison. But Anthony, there was a meme that I saw that was basically like, it was a woman driving her car, and just, it's like a thought bubble of, maturity in marriage is realizing that when your husband says he would do anything for you, he meant fight dragons and stuff, not do the dishes or laundry. But, like, if you want to actually be a good husband, let's say, like, and your wife is like, hey, will you just do the dishes? Like, that would make me happy. I'll do anything to make you happy. What about the dishes? Anything but that. What's that Meatloaf song? I'll do anything for love, mm-hmm. but I won't do that. Yeah. Like, are you competitive in that you want to win, or do you want to win your way? And I think that, like, to just absolutely torture this analogy, the Commanders want some guys that are willing to do some dishes. Like, if you're willing to do the dishes, like, we can work with you. We want that true competitor at the heart of it. Are you a dishes guy? Are you a laundry guy?
Me?
I feel like you're good about your chores because you have to be, because you got your own spot. No one else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, I do my dishes. I try to make sure my sink is empty by the time I go to sleep.
I was always kind of bad about the sink. I'm not good about it at night, but in the morning, like when I go start making breakfast and putting things, that's when my motivation to do that kind of stuff is higher in the morning for whatever reason. Anyway, it's not the point of the segment. Just fun facts aside about me and Anthony and how we go about our household chores. The point is, if there was a point and a point that I can remember, the point is that when you look at a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, right, I don't think he fits the commander to a T, right? He's a little rough around the edges in terms of how he conducts his interviews in the media and things like that. Obviously the competitiveness on the field at times spills over in a way that I think DQ values composure, at a higher level than Marshawn Lattimore has displayed in his career, including in the playoff game against Mike Evans this year, and specifically against AJ Brown this year when that spilled over. But there is a competitiveness to him that they were willing to take on that risk. And whatever the other parts of that spilling over were more in the negotiable side. Do they want a bunch of those dudes? No. Were they willing to take a bet on the talent? Yes. They're doubling down on that because they're not releasing him. They're not moving on from Marshawn Lattimore, and he's a big part of their plans moving forward by everything that we've heard. But I do think it's worth, like, wondering if they're wondering internally, like, we got to see how this goes. And I'm glad ultimately that Adam said what he said, which is when you start sacrificing these things, because like, oh, that talent, the talent's too good to pass up until that talent is not available to you, or until that talent is only performing at 80% of their capacity because they don't compete in the way that you want. They don't work in the way that you want. And that's the thing with Lattimore, is like behind the scenes, the reports on him before he even started playing are like, he's great in the meeting rooms. He's helping the other guys before he even steps on the field with his knowledge. So it's just for him, it's like, really, can you contain it more on the field? And will you be more accountable when it spills over in ways that are not good and not helpful, in a way that he didn't in publicly taking accountability for those things? But at the core of it, when you're looking at free agents, when you're looking at the draft, like, I think they understand that old cliche that I mentioned earlier, talent. Or hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. They want the guys that are going to work hard because then they know, let's say this guy is a 78 player on Madden. If we can get a 78 every single week, we can plan for 78 every single week. But if this guy's an 84, but sometimes he plays like an 84 and sometimes he plays like a 64, that's going to be a problem for us, and especially if it's something that we feel like he can control in terms of how he goes about his business. You don't want to make that sacrifice because it then has an effect on the 78 player because he starts playing like a 72 because he's hanging around with the 84-64 guy too much. Like that kind of stuff is contagious. You want the level in your locker room to be high. You want the standard to be high, and I do think that will affect who is on their board when it comes draft time and who is obviously on the free agent board as we move into the start of league year here in just a couple of weeks. All right, when we get back, it is time for Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones, but first, a final look at what's trending. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're wrapping up here on the Team 980. It's always fun. Anthony, this is like the thing that happens. I'll have to deal with this tomorrow. We're only on until 6 tomorrow.
Oh, you're in there by yourself, aren't you?
I'm not by myself. It's actually not like crazy empty, but it definitely is like emptying out. We got like, because the thing is, like, all the digital outlets are done. So like the Athletics table is empty. The Ringer's table is empty. Let's see. I'm trying to see who else is over there. There's like TV station that's got set up over there. Like their table's empty. And then you got a lot of other radio stations that are done for the day. But like I got Kansas City's on to my right. I think Phoenix looks like they might be on in front of me. The Yahoo Sports folks just wrapped up. My guys over at ESPN 1000 Chicago, they're still over here. Then there's like a whole other side. There's people working over to the right. So, but it definitely is emptying out. When you're the afternoon show, Eastern time, I mean, I feel bad if you're like, you want to come out. Like, let's say you're covering, I'm trying to think of what team on the West Coast has a high pick. Like the Raiders or something like that.
Yep.
And you're out here. Like my guy Q Myers, who does a show in Vegas, like his schedule has got to be, that dude just doesn't leave this building all day. He's because like everyone's around in the morning to tape stuff. It's like it's busiest in the morning, and then just peters off throughout the day. But I'm here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is insane. Anthony, I'm just going to say all the people that I've got scheduled for tomorrow. And I don't know how many of these, because I will admit all of these are scheduled to tape before the show.
Oh, wow.
We're having Trevor Sikkema for Take Command.
Okay.
Mark Ross, who's been great with us, former Giants personnel executive now at the NFL Network. The great, the one, the only, Charles Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Lance Erline, who was one of my favorite conversations last year. Like, if you go on NFL.com and you read their, like, player comparisons and their scouting profiles on NFL.com, Lance is the guy who writes those. And then the one that we will 100% have on the show tomorrow, because he is actually going to be live, is Rhett Lewis, who's a host and draft guy for NFL Network. He hosts their Path to the Draft show. But I believe it's his father played for Washington back in the day, so he's got burgundy and gold connections, which is fun. So we'll have Rhett Lewis on the show 4:30 tomorrow. We also I didn't get a chance to edit any of this because it's a 40-minute conversation that we didn't have time to play today, but it's worth saying. I had an awesome roundtable discussion with Brooke Pryor and Dan Pizzuta earlier today, and we just talked about a bunch of different stuff all around the league, trade trends, coaching staff size, and then team buildings type of stuff. So awesome conversation that I'll have up over the next couple of days on YouTube at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. And we'll play maybe the trade discussion part on Friday. That was Pizzuta's contribution to the idea table. So we'll probably play that on Friday's show. But some of these interviews we'll play on Friday. I think we're going to have Cynthia Freeland this week as well. So plenty of good stuff to come here on the Team 980 from Indianapolis. With that, Anthony, any other housekeeping? I mean, today I should mention, for those that are tuning in late here, if you want to go back and check out the podcast feed, Jordan Reed from ESPN, Andrew Siciliano, former NFL Network, now play-by-play for the Cleveland Browns and NBC Sports. Who else? JP and Mitch all stopped by. So did I miss anybody? Oh, yeah, and then we got Logan and I got a fresh episode of Take Command that you can check out. And then Logan and I are recording with Sikkema tomorrow. So that's going to be fun. We've never done this before. We're like, I'm going to be sitting here with Trevor, and then Logan's going to be on the computer screen. So I got to figure out how that's all going to look and make sure that we got all the tech. I got to text Trevor and be like, hey, make sure you bring some headphones. If not, I'm going to have to borrow somebody's headphones. But we'll... You know, that's my problem, Anthony, and I'll figure it out. Other than that, any other housekeeping we should do?
I think that's it for the day. Oh, I mean, I guess you could note that the Lakers play the Mavs tonight.
Oh, yeah, there's great sports on TV tonight. I think 48 and I are going to grab dinner, and hopefully there's TVs, because Unrivaled is on tonight.
Yes, sir.
And then the Lakers and Mavs play tonight. So Luka's first game back in Dallas.
Yes. I don't know if it's in Dallas. Let me see if it's in Dallas. I know
At 10 o'clock, it's probably in LA.
Yeah.
But still, that'll be fun. Man, his first trip back to Dallas.
He is in LA.
Because, like, typically the Mavs were really good about, you know, like back when I covered them 10 years ago when I lived down there. Like, if a guy had been a player and came back, like, they were good about, like, the tribute videos and all that kind of stuff. But because of the way that things went down, like, will the owner and the GM be like, no tribute video? That would be so stupid. And, like, you know, the PA announcer, like, do they do his old introduction on the PA for one time? Like, they should. Man. He took them to the finals.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Will they? Yeah. Interesting is one word for it.
Do you think he goes for, like, a crazy stat line? Do you think he's going for 30,
kinda, yeah.
15, 10?
I also think that, like, LeBron and the Lakers will feed that.
Yeah.
Like, they will be like, you're going to go absolutely bananas. Speaking of J.J. Redick and the Lakers, let's get to real things real people said in real microphones. So Luka Doncic had... 4 steals over the weekend, which prompted Lakers coach J.J. Redick, his former teammate, of course, to say this.
Luka, it's good to have you back.
Yes, sir.
It's good to have you back. Yes, first team all defense.
First first team all defense. Anthony, is there any of the other ones that we can play real quick here in the final few minutes of the show? Final few seconds of the show.
Jimmy, I guess. We got Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler, everybody. No further setup.
First game is a dub. It's always good. Now I got to find somewhere to live. I got nowhere to live out here.
That is something that is very, very real. If you get traded midseason, like, I guess he had the All-Star break, but he had to go do All-Star stuff. Yeah. And the All-Star break was in the Bay, but he probably had, I don't know, finding a place to live is hard. Then you got to move. It's big.
And it's the Bay. It's expensive.
And it's the Bay. Yeah, well, he got the money. All right, that's our show. We'll see you tomorrow.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.